latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 to the top of the hour. And certainly the hot topic on the eastern seaboard has been the return of Colonial Downs. And Jill Byrne back with us. The season has gone very quickly. A terrific welcome from the horse players and from horsemen and from the fan base. Jill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been quite the whirlwind, and can't believe that we're winding down to our final 2 days.
And I was looking during the break. I wanted to make sure that the hurricane working its way up the coast, it shows up as a big green and yellow blob, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect you today or tomorrow.
No, it didn't hit us. It was supposed to hit last night. With some, you know, heavy rain and wind, we got a little bit of rain, nothing really, you know, significant by any means, some wind, but really nothing that they anticipated. It stayed literally about 15 miles east of us, and, you know, we just got some residual rain, but a little wind left over, moving it out of here, and we're good. We are good to go for today, for tonight, and then tomorrow, closing night, just looks unbelievable. Sunny, 85 degrees, and could not ask for more perfect weather.
Oh, that's sweet, and certainly deserve, given everything that went in to being ready and to putting together the racing program. And for you, talk a little bit, with all the races drawn and all that kind of work behind you. Talk about the experience, Jill. What was it like for this new foray for you? You've done so many things around the racetrack over the years.
You know, it's challenging, but extremely rewarding, gratifying, humbling. I can't even think of enough words to describe it. The support from people around the racing world, like yourself, and just everybody from all walks of the thoroughbred industry that supported us and continue to support us and almost just seemed to root for us to succeed has been, very overwhelming. The team that we put together here for the racing side of it, is just spectacular. Allison DeLuca and all of her racing office team has just worked so hard for these cards, 7 days a week. We race 3 days a week, but it's a 7-day-a-week hustle. They've been incredible. The support we've got from the horsemen and from all over the country, that's what's really exciting is, we kind of called ourselves the melting pot, and we truly have been. We've had horses from Santa Anita and Del Mar, from, Minnesota, from Louisiana, Florida, Kentucky, of course, all up and down the East Coast, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, obviously, great support from the Virginia horsemen, so happy to have Colonial Downs back. So, just really overwhelming the support nationwide that we've received, and owners and trainers that have sent their horses here. So we're really, really pleased and very, very thankful.
One thing, and it came up, it's come up repeatedly this week on the show, because it just so happened, Jill, that as I was visiting with Successful Connections, and I'm going to pull up, let me go to my to our broadcast archive page, virtually everybody that we had on this week was Fair Hill based.
Yeah, we've had a lot of support from the Fair Hill gang. They've been extremely successful here. But, the support from Graham Motion, Mike Stidham, Tom Proctor, Arno Delacour, Jonathan Shepherd. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Shug McGahey and Stuart Janney. Sending horses down here, it really has been, just incredible support. But they recognize, several things, obviously. Recognize the fantastic facility with the two courses, the turf course, Secretariat Turf Course, which goes, without saying how spectacular it is with its previous reputation and even more so now. And then we completely renovated this dirt course, and it's kind of, been a little overshadowed by the turf course, but everybody just raving about how incredible this dirt course is. So, they know the facility is really good. Horses do well here. You're not going to lose races off the turf because this turf can handle anything. And, it's so big that we can move the rail. We move the rail every weekend, so you're always on a fresh course. It's really been an incredible group of owners, trainers, jockeys, horsemen around the country that have come here.
And I look back, Stidham, Trombetta, Kelly Rubley, and Graham Motion. And yeah. I brought up Colonial with every one of them. It was because they, obviously Graham, who and Mike Stidham, who won stakes in multiple venues, Trombetta too. Everybody just, everybody talking about how attractive the program was and how it obviously it with all of the racing in the Mid-Atlantic, Jill, you obviously wrote a condition book that had opportunity. And frankly, this is only going to get better when you think about what the Virginia certification program means and the horses that were Virginia certified. You fold that in, and yes, they get paid, wherever they run in the Northeast. But, the rebooting of we got these stakes tomorrow, all the Virginia bred stakes, the multiple farms around the state, that have kind of redoubled their efforts. They deserve a ton of credit for hanging in, during a what essentially was a dark period. So, I mean, so many people. We talked to Debbie Easter a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, virtually everybody pulled in the same direction. It's one of racing's really good stories this year.
Yeah, you know, Debbie Easter and her entire team, the VTA, the VEA, you know, Frank Petromalo and the VHBPA, I cannot say enough about how, you know, they were the rock stars and the heroes in all of this, in keeping Virginia racing, so to speak, alive over the last 6 years, but then just working tirelessly, that entire group and the Virginia Racing Commission, to make, you know, this meet happen and this year happen. And the support of the Virginia Horsemen, and how, and just the real gratitude of them to have this back, and how they've hung in there. And, you know, you've got Susan Cooney, Ferris Allen, and Karen Godsey, you know, Dougie Fowl. I mean, there's just countless Virginia supporters here that have stabled here and, you know, racing, and just could not be more appreciative of the entire team that has put this together. But, you know, it's that group that kept this going for the last 6 years and worked so hard to get that legislature passed to have us where we are today.
And I'm sure you'll have, you know, post-season discussions and meetings. Anything that has jumped out at you from the handle side? How was the horse player reception? The signal? I mean, what kinds of things are you expecting to work on between now and next year?
Well, you know me, I'm always, you know, setting the bar very high. So lots of things to improve on this year. Obviously, a real, you know, kind of learning year, and getting the product back out there, and the recognition of the product, as you know, horse players and horsemen can be a group that, you know, they're used to a certain style of racing happening at a certain time. So just getting back on everybody's radar. But I think, you know, one thing from the horse players' perspective, everybody loves wagering on turf races, and we've had full fields most of the time. I mean, I think our field size maybe was 8.7 leading into just recently. So, you know, that's pretty good. Comparatively throughout the country, the purse structure is obviously really good, so you're getting some quality horses to wager on, so that side of it. Just improving on getting recognition and getting out there, you know, the word that Colonial's back, the racing is quality racing, it's a good wagering product. We had that low 12% takeout for the pick five, which, you know, I think was popular with the horse players, especially, as I mentioned, when you have turf racing and full fields. And one thing, you know, Steve, that we all have been talking about here, which was quite unique, being that melting pot of racing, I think it made it interesting for the horse players. You had a lot of horses running against each other that hadn't run against each other before, so you didn't have that real familiarity of form to go by, which made for some very interesting handicapping. So I think that was actually really kind of cool to see, is you don't, you know, so many tracks, we've got the same horses constantly running against each other over and over again, and this was a real influx of horses from all over the place that had never seen each other before.
Well, I can also tell you from conversations we had at Saratoga with Bill Gallo and Sean Clancy, the incorporation of the jump racing into the calendar, and the first and third races, including tomorrow, where there's a $50,000 stake, the Randolph Rouse. You got a big, bulky group in here. You've got 10, not sure if they're all going to go, but you've got a very interesting field just for the jump stake tomorrow.
Yeah, they've been so great to work with, the National Steeplechase Association, as you mentioned, Bill Gallo, Sean Clancy, the entire group, you know, very accommodating. We had the two races every Saturday, and, you know, they just could not be a better group to work with. Virginia loves steeplechase racing, so it's always just a natural fit to have it here, and it's been fun for people to see. It's such a, you know, such a beautiful thing to watch, so that's been a great part of it as well. Virginia's history in the steeplechase world goes very, very far back. So to have them as a part of this has just been really exciting, I think, for the fans and for the horsemen to be able to come here and race over this beautiful course, over fences.
The key question is Peggy Steinman coming down tomorrow?
She is. She is absolutely coming down tomorrow. So look forward to seeing her. She's, of course, one of the the grand dames of horse racing overall. And I've known her for a very, very long time, and I could not be more honored that she's going to be here tomorrow, and she's run a lot of horses at the meet, so really happy that she's coming in with her group to celebrate closing night.
Well, she's got Market Alley, who won the FIPS up here, and big win for her and Doug Fout at Saratoga earlier in the meet. And you know, the filly and mare division, they don't have a whole lot of opportunity for the fillies and mares. So to pull this field together, outstanding. 10 horses tomorrow, and in fact, Market Alley probably your favorite. I tell you, speaking of Sean Clancy, he's got him and Hill Parker. They've got Snowy Hill at 8-1, coming back off the maiden breaker 2 weeks ago. Snowy Hill, very much a player in here at a nice price.
Yeah, and I believe Sean's coming in town as well, so I look forward to seeing him and his group. The weather tomorrow is just supposed to be incredible. Sunny, 85 degrees. I mean, that's Chamber of Commerce weather. Indeed. So we expect a very big crowd out here tomorrow to enjoy closing day tonight. Now that the storm's moved her way on out and we haven't felt any negative effects of it, I think we're going to see a lot of people here this evening as well.
Outstanding. And we mentioned the Virginia Bred Stakes, $500,000 worth of action, the Brookmead and the Campdown, the Punchline. The Jamestown.
Yeah, Kent DeZormo is scheduled to come in and ride, so looking forward to seeing him here back at Colonial.
How about that? He's riding for Vladimir Sarin in the Camptown with Holly Hundy. And did he pick up any other mounts?
I think he is in one other race as well. Let me pull up. I'm sure I saw him named on something else in two stakes races here. So
nice.
That'll be great to have him here. We've had a really good jockey colony, and we have a tight jockey race going on right now with Trevor McCarthy and Michael Sanchez and Daniel Centeno. So we're actually a tight race in the trainer and owner standing. So we have a race within a race going on tomorrow night.
You know, you also had from opening day, you had the racing club that was put together, you mentioned Ferris Allen, and they had a win right on opening day, and the participation, that very healthy concept around the country, obviously originated really with Churchill and the success that they had, but. You just have done everything possible you could think of, to get a rolling start to the new Colonial Downs landscape.
Yeah, well, I give, all that credit there goes to Debbie Easter and her group for putting that together. That was the Virginia Thoroughbred Club that you mentioned. So, they get all the credit for that one. And, it's been fun to see all that group here. I'm a native Virginian, so it's been great for me to catch up with all kinds of friends from home, from my Charlottesville days and my UVA days, as I like to get my shameless plug in. It's been a pretty darn good year in Virginia.
I love it.
For my
love
Virginia
it.
Cavaliers.
So too funny.
It's been fun to see everybody and to put on this meet with an incredible ownership team here, the Peninsula Pacific Entertainment, which makes up Colonial Downs Group. They could not be more supportive of racing. Obviously, we wouldn't have the racing if it wasn't for the gaming and the HHR machines and vice versa. And you can't have one without the other. But they are extremely supportive of horse racing. They love the industry and have just, they've invested a great deal into the racing side of this and will continue to support and invest in racing. It's something that means a great deal to them and the community here. They've invested a great deal back, giving back to the community. So, it's very important to the ownership team. And again, I can't begin to say enough about the racing team that we have here that put this show on. Just an incredible group that works extremely hard to make this happen. And Ken Brown, track superintendent, Jeff Wingrove, director here, racing operations and simulcast. Just the list goes on and on, but people that are extremely passionate about the industry, so have a lot invested in it themselves and just have been an integral part of making this a success.
Jill, before we wrap, too, for those that didn't get a chance to get to Colonial this year, what is the projected dates for next year?
We don't have the date set yet. We'll be meeting on that. I believe it's the first part of October. Start meeting on when those dates will be, and just kind of, you know, start thinking about what's the best. I've had a lot of great feedback from horsemen around the country of dates, you know, that they feel would suit. And obviously working very hard with the Mid-Atlantic region, all of the racing entities of the Mid-Atlantic, to find out, you know, all of us work together to come up with the best dates plan, so we're not, you know, cannibalizing the smaller horse population. And it, even though, you know, we're all competitors, we know that we all have to succeed for this industry, so we have to be prepared to not try to, you know, run against each other all the time, so that we can all have full fields and quality racing. So there's still a lot to decide on the dates for next year, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be even more exciting. We've got lots to work on over the winter and things to improve, and so, you know, it's exciting times.
Do you, not to press on this, but I mean, mm-hmm. do you expect generally to be in the August, September, October range, and how many more days of racing might you know, speculate that you might run?
I really, as far as the time, the dates of when it's going to happen, I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of dates being you know, bantered around to see what's going to work out the best for everybody. As far as the number of dates, we will not go over 30 for next year. So 30 would be the maximum. Somewhere between 21 and 30 days would be the number that we'd be running next year. So we just now have to figure out when's the best time for those, for everybody involved, and come up with a good schedule that fits the best for the Mid-Atlantic.
Fair enough. I can see I'm not going to get legitimately don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know.
I can tell. All right.
There's a lot that goes into it.
Well, it's interesting. Well, I'll be anxious. I mean, wherever it fits. I mean, because there's so much. I mean, you literally could, from spring, you know, until late fall, is all viable, right? I mean,
exactly. I mean, from April to the end of October, it's all viable for us. So now it's okay. Let's put this puzzle together and make sure it works for all entities involved.
Well, everybody that went down there that we've heard from, and we saw some people at Saratoga the last week that had gone, everybody came back just raving and got the chance to see Woodbury Payne and Olga, and Woody he's involved this weekend. We wish him best of luck. Wood said it's just fabulous, and so pleased and excited for everybody that made this happen. Just dedicated. The dedication involved here and the commitment was exceptional, and it paid off handsomely. Jill, thanks so much.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like I've had an angel on my shoulders and John Asher kind of watching out for me. So I know he'd be proud.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Jill Byrne, everybody, and Colonial Rosies on Twitter, ColonialDowns.com. You follow Jill as well, of course, and obviously the racing is gonna be on hold for, who knows, 6 to 8 to 9 months or whatever, but we'll be out in front when it comes back around. Enjoy these last couple of days. Very nice cards, including the jump races tomorrow as well. We'll take a break here. Top of the hour, Rick Hammerly standing by. We got Ed DeRosa and Steve Anderson yet in hour three, weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective
time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Talking to the biggest names in the sport of cage. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset. Nah, nah. It's all in the air, you hear it everywhere. No matter what you do, it's gonna grab a hold on you. California soul. California soul.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 10 minutes into hour three, and California Soul Brother number one, Rick Hammerly, bringing his brand to Kentucky Downs. And here we are in between days two and three, actually between days two and three and four, because Saturday and Sunday, the fourth and third and fourth days of the meet. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent.
Good. So one quick thing. I was driving in today, and, you know, we've raced 2 days, and there's so much work goes into getting this place ready. I mean, everyone's buzzing around here, so I don't even have a chance to listen to the show live. So I listen on the way in at 5:30. And I believe this morning you referred to me and many others as a leaf peeper with Peter yesterday. I had to laugh because you know, when we lived back there, we you couldn't have described it any better. Could you show us where the orange leaves are, please? Yes, yeah, right over there. But I got a kick out of that because you know, we don't have that stuff in California.
Well, they're on their way, and the trees actually are making. I saw where Skip Dickstein had a picture on the backstretch the other day at Saratoga, where he over by the Mott Barn on the Oklahoma side, and the tree was making its move. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know if the it all has to do with temperature and with the how much moisture and this and that. But I think maybe it's going to be a good year for the leaf change.
Yeah, that's funny. So speaking of great years, I mean, we got to talk about just real quickly. I mean, the Saratoga meet just ended. Great job by Martin and Mike Lakow, who is back as the racing secretary this year. And you just talked to Jill Byrne, and you could hear the excitement in her voice. I mean, Colonial's back. Ellis Park just finished, and they were up. So, it's racing is moving right along. Thank you very much. And, of course, I'm here at Kentucky Downs, and I've been here, like I said, 8-9 days. I feel like a veteran here. And, things are so positive. I've got Ted Nicholson with me this morning for a little bit. Just he's the general manager and, man of, many, many hands here getting things done. But you know what? I tell you what, the excitement of racing in itself through the past, 3-4 months is really moving along. So, like you will continually say, all these naysayers that say, we got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to look forward to.
You know, I don't know. I know you've been dealing with the mornings and the adjustment in terms of time, so you're not hearing everything on a daily basis like you normally would. But on Monday, Rick, the show started with Don Little Jr. from Centennial, and it ended with Graham Motion. And, unaided, the two of them from different vantage points, they both sounded that same tone that, here we are two-thirds through what started out as a incredibly tumultuous and somewhat arduous year. And they both said things are good and things are better than anybody wants to actually, give the industry credit for. And if maybe people hear that a little bit more, the cacophony of dissatisfaction, it might be able to beat it back.
Well, one thing you got to remember, look, there's racing 365 days a year. And, every day can't be the 4th of July, and we're going to have some ups and downs. But, in general, I got to think we're doing pretty good. And as you know, there was some changes here last year with a new ownership group, and some things have happened. And so I thought we'd talk to Ted here for a little bit. He can kind of explain a little bit of the atmosphere. And, of course, 2 days down, 2 days up on handle. And I attribute that to just some of the rhythm that's going on in the game. But I know our show here that we've talked about it a lot, and so has Peter on his podcast. And I just hear Kentucky Downs a little bit more. And you can't believe the people that show up here. And and I'm talking about the crowds who come as well. But the owners and the trainers, instead of sending the third assistant to go down to Kentucky Downs, they're all here. Glenn Hill ran a horse yesterday. Craig was here. Proctor was here. The whole team was here. So it's just like that. It really is pretty wild that who comes walking through the door on a Thursday at Kentucky Downs, where basically, a few years ago that probably wouldn't have happened. But you can Ted's here now, and you can kind of ask him a few things about it. But it's very upbeat here.
Oh, no doubt. What a pleasure to talk to Ted Nicholson. We've been passing the phone.
Yeah.
Ted, what a pleasure. Absolutely thrilled to have you join us. Ted is the general manager and the senior VP at Kentucky Downs. And, just talk a little bit about what the opportunity is and how, the new ownership team headed by Ron Winchell. Talk a little bit about what you're hoping to accomplish with this era of Kentucky Downs.
Well, I think the first thing is that we're not changing anything. We're just, taking all the good things that we've been doing over the last 4 or 5 years and just trying to improve it in any way we possibly can. There's only so much we can do. Purse-wise, we generate a lot of purses, obviously, crazy purse money in some sense, but we gave $5 million purse money this year to Ellis, you know, to make sure that the Kentucky circuit is thriving, and I think that worked. Going forward, we're asking for 7 days for next year instead of five, so that means that Hammer's going to have to stick around for a few more days next year. We're just trying to move the needle forward and just continue that process.
Ted, you bring up the dates, and I over the years we've discussed this so many different times, and Corey Johnson and his team pushed for some extra days, upwards of 6, 7, or 8, and was rebuffed continually. I know that the calendar affects that year to year, but what can be done to persuade KHRC and the other racetrack entities that have to be negotiated with, you know, what has to happen for Kentucky Downs to get a few more days?
Well, it is a KHRC situation that we're going to apply. We've had talks with Ellis to see if we can somehow, work together to add some dates for us. We don't want to hurt them by taking purse money away that we've given in the past. So it's a unique situation, but we just feel like business-wise, we spend a lot of money, fixed costs on tents and flying people in and hotels and all that stuff to put together a race meet like this in a short amount of time. So to spread those fixed costs around 7 days instead of five is a business decision, and that's what the new ownership is looking at. So we're in talks with Ellis so that we could go to the Racing Commission with the united front that this is something that we all can benefit from.
Well, and there was at a time when there was that September, the intertwining of Turfway, and when Turfway was running their September meet, right? There was that, and I think that predates your arrival at Kentucky Downs, but there was, you're running that Kentucky Cup tomorrow, and there was that integrated card where there were six races being run at Kentucky Downs and six at Turfway. That's got to be, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was probably still working for Churchill at that time. That was a crazy situation. As we have grown, I've been here 4 years, and as we've grown, it's been about the same the last 3 or 4 years. But prior, there was a few days where I believe we actually ran during the day, and Churchill ran a night card. There's been situations where, we have, kind of fell in between a couple of Ellis days, like we do on the Labor Day weekend situation. So we're just trying to find a happy medium that will make everybody, comfortable with it. I don't want to hurt anybody's racing offices, by making them work two places at once. That's not easy. It'll be interesting to see how the next 2-3 weeks shake out.
The wagering menu, and of course the commitment to try to offer as attractive a product for horse players as possible, and price it as competitively as is possible as well, and is reasonable given all the hands that are in the pie. Talk about what other things could be accomplished by Kentucky Downs on that front.
Are you talking about on property?
No, from the betting menu and from takeout considerations. I mean, you guys have been on the leading edge of trying to trying to please horse players and attract, make the signal as attractive as possible. Is there anything further that can be done on that front, or have you guys kind of already stretched those boundaries?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. I think typically in the off season, I'll get a lot of emails, phone calls from the larger players or the group of a group of larger players, and they will make suggestions. I know that that Corey fielded a lot of those calls while I was trying to do other things the last couple of years. And we would get our heads together and try and figure out the direction of whether it was the takeout on a pick four or that type of thing. So right now, we're right in the middle of this, so my head's not really there. But I'm sure in the off season we'll try and figure out how can we improve the experience for the horse players.
There's some merit also to keeping things simple, and the way the menu is right now, it's very simple. And you don't want to get too crazy in a 5-day meet about having these glitzy and glamour bets that you maybe not have time to take shape. And I what I've noticed, like I said, I'm a week long veteran. I'm an expert, kiddingly. But what I've seen is that the racing and that side of the product here, the racing and the people that want to come here, has really outgrown almost the facility. Just exponential, just like boom. And we had to bring in an extra tent on tomorrow to fit some extra owners coming in. And so, I mean, this is like a growth spurt going on here. And sometimes it's better to take a little, some baby steps until you plateau a little bit. But like Ted said, he's mentioned to me a few things that they're looking at. But, you got to remember that this place runs for, right, it's 5 days. And so as far as some of the physical on-track stuff, it doesn't make sense to do. I'm not going to put in track ends. You're not going to put in a big grandstand, for 5 days. So, but there's some little things that I can see they're working on, and, get the physical plant kind of up to where the racing is just shot by. And so it's a good problem to have, but there's probably some room out there for some kind of bet or a different tweak it a little bit, but simple sometimes is best. And speaking of that, the handle's been up the first 2 days, pretty dramatically. And, but you always listen for suggestions for sure.
Well, it's a place that more and more you hear players and you hear fans talk about wanting to get there and get the experience in, and figuring out how to get to Nashville and getting up there, and everybody that these first 2 days that sending out pictures on social media and saying, oh my God, it's everything I expected, and it's completely different from what I expected. That always makes me smile, that that people are just sort of overwhelmed by what a unique experience it is. And it's a European turf course, and it's very different. It's like when we push people to go to Far Hills to the race meet and to some of the hunt meets in the steeplechase side. It's racing as we know it, and as most people haven't seen before. So it's just unique, and it's really entrenched on the calendar and on the landscape.
Well, we'll have to get you down here next year when you can see.
Exactly. And when I can travel, exactly. Another 4 weeks. Well, Ted, I really appreciate this. I'd be very curious to have a conversation maybe after Thursday, maybe in a couple of weeks, for your take on the machinations that look like they're in play in Northern Kentucky as of yesterday afternoon, your experience at your former employer, and what's going to happen up there at Florence and Latonia. We'll see.
I'm very interested in to see how that plays out as well.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't willing to do something at an existing racetrack, but willing to build a completely new one in Northern Kentucky. Ted, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Call me anytime.
Excellent. Ted Nicholson, who is the senior VP at Kentucky Downs and the general manager, and a long career in and around racetracks, Arlington for a big stretch, and before that, Calder. I recall that Ted was at Calder, and I'm sure others. Hammer, before we play out, hold on, Dej.
I mentioned it that Ted and I went to school together. He was part of that, part of our.
Oh, he was in that early. There. He was in the inaugural in the early days. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was part of the group that was myself and Martin Panza and Luke Kreipbosch, Mike Harlow, Todd Fletcher. We all went to school together.
Chuck Simon.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. That's when he called. He goes, "Hey, come on out!" So I said, "Absolutely."
But I'll tell you what, with Hammer, with that list of guys, Luke, Todd, you, and the rest, I'm surprised the Arizona football team wasn't better in those years.
They were.
not
from us. We were supporters. Believe.
Yeah, you guys. Well, because that was that must have been a nice intramural team you guys had.
Yeah, we played all the sports you could play. We played. We were very good. We had a wonderful time in going through college.
Chuck
it that
and
way.
Todd.
It was all fun.
I love it.
But now, do we have a few more minutes?
Just a few, yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to just touch on a few things that we expand on that we talked about last time about, and we only run 2 days, but on horses that we're familiar with the track that run good, you know, the horse that won the opening day. I can't ask you this horse, Sinclair.
Snapper.
Jeff Luke.
Snapper
Sinclair, right. So we talked about he came here last year and he won a race. Boom,
yep.
He came back and you've kind of seen a little bit of the similarities. And so you mentioned the newness and the people here. So one of my duties here is to get here in the morning and open up the track with the outriders and kind of make sure the horses stay outside the cones and kind of, you know, there's no really breathing, you're just galloping, and you know, it's actually the greatest time of the day to be here. And the first 3, 4, 5 days, you had Asius would bring out some horses, and Joe Sharp would bring out some horses, and we'd maybe get 8, 9, 10 horses. Well, today we had over 40, and they said that's an absolute record. And so besides those guys who are here every year, you had Drysdale brought his horses out. Christophe Clement brought a couple horses out. Wesley Ward, who's here, he brought, I think he had 7 or 8 go out this morning. Todd Fletcher has 3 horses. They all hit the track. Richard Baltus. Brad Cox was out there again. So they get here, and they look at this track, and they go, wow, I'm going to get my horses out there. So it's a lot more instead of just shipping in and waiting for the race to come about. They're taking a look at it, and they're doing it. And I just mentioned that because sometimes, like, this is a course that horse or rider maybe have never seen. And just one little loop around, that's all they do. It's a mom's hip 5/16 around, but it's uphill. It's around a goofy bend and all this other stuff. You know, it is. I think that really helps these horses run good. You know, so the Athuses and the Sharps, and like I said, those guys—the guys I mentioned—that took their horses to the track. John Sadler's got Campaign here, who won two races last year,
right,
when he was with Steve Asmussen. And Asmussen's guy Darren was at the Gap this morning, and Juan Leyva's here for Sadler, and he goes, "There goes Campaign." And he went by a little bit faster than you're supposed to. And Darren goes, "This guy loves the place here." He goes, "This horse is," and Juan comes off going, "Wow, this horse loves it here." So he's in on the big race on Saturday too. So, you know, just some things to keep in your mind when you are doing some handicapping. And that's what I got. Unless you got to move on. So I can give you some quick scratches tomorrow if you'd like.
Only if you got a stake, a prominent, any prominent.
Nothing major. A couple of things here and there. So I know you got to roll on. But anyway, tune in tomorrow. I got all stakes pick 5 actually tomorrow.
Yes.
And obviously, and all stakes pick 4 as well. So tomorrow we did 10 million last year, which was the record for forever, and looking to build on that too. So tune in to Kentucky Downs tomorrow.
Are you, Hammer, are you tied in with the Belmont on Sunday in the cross-country pick five?
You know what? I don't know. I do not know. Sunday, they have two. I haven't heard anything of it, and no one called down and said, hey, you know, hey, once you guys move post time left or right, so I do not know. I'll have
okay.
to check.
Okay. I'm curious. I think they're doing one, and I had sort of speculated myself. I was thinking to myself that maybe they did it with the dueling ground races.
I don't know. And then real quick, if you said something, can you do real quick with this beat pick what I got to do next? My next contest to move on to, I got to get on top of it.
Well, nothing. The championship is next Saturday.
Okay. What do I have to go? Do I have to sign up for something?
Well, did you beat me or did you win with me?
Come on. No, I did beat you. I did beat you a couple times.
All right. Well, then you should have gotten an email from Holly Short at NTRA with a code to join the tour for $1.
Okay. I'll check that out.
Check
all
right, hshort@ntra.com. Those of you that did beat me, and if you haven't seen the communication with the code, then give Holly a quick shout by email, and she'll communicate with you what you got to do next.
Sounds great. So I'm glad you're on the road, fast road to recovery. It sounds you sound great, and Tina has done very well here along the road, and I'm glad you're heading up to for your anniversary next weekend. So
yes.
I got to get up there. Land of a Thousand Lakes. Sounds very
Thousand
intriguing.
Islands.
Thousand Islands.
The lakes are in Minnesota.
Beautiful.
If you go to next time you go to Canterbury, you can do that.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks for
Hammer,
checking in.
You got to push it all for tomorrow. You got a play or two.
I do actually like a couple of horses tomorrow. I was putting it away when you said you were done there, and I guess it's the Three Chimneys Ladies Service, the eighth race. I like Neil Drysdale's horse in there. It appeared to me, which is odd, as I always, in California, when we're out there, I say, take the invaders. But this filly looks like a true miler, simply breathless, I'm talking about. She went out this morning and got a look around the track. Giroux's riding, who is the leading rider, 4-3, if you want to count that. But obviously, you want to get the rider on that note. I'm glad that she went out this morning and, you know, but I think, even still, I think I said she's a true miler. I think she's gonna enjoy the trip around there. So I do like that. He actually in the ladies' sprint in the next race has another one, Oliscandra, that's not too bad, and another local horse from California, Painting Colors. I think is gonna really like it here. And in the big race, we mentioned already Campaign, who's simply loves it here, but that race is wide open. It's the last race. It's the get out race, and I think Campaign is definitely one of the horses to bid. My Boy Jack is in there, and they shipped My Boy Jack down about 3 days ago. Van rolled in about 8 o'clock, got him out, did a loop around the track, back on a van up to Louisville. So but My Boy Jack has had a look at it, and he sometimes runs better when you least expect it. And then last year's winner, Arklo, if you were wondering why he skipped the, I think it was the Sword Dancer up there in New York, he's back here to defend his title here. And once again, he's won here, and he'll be tough to beat as well. So, take the time to handicap, and you will get paid. So, there you go.
I appreciate it. Kentucky Downs, Rick Hammerly, and Ted Nicholson this morning. Hammer, thanks a lot. Look forward to tomorrow and
Great.
Sunday.
You too. Yep. Have a good weekend.
Away they go on Twitter. Rick Hammerly, everybody, and Kentucky Downs. Let's take a break. Steve Anderson going to join us when we come back. Talk about Los Al getting back in and the break between Santa Anita and Del Mar. And some other tidbits coming off of the Oceanside action. Back after this, weekend preview continues.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents At The Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At The Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and got about 20 minutes to fill out on this weekend preview. And, of course, Del Mar wrapping up on Monday, along with Saratoga, Ellis Park, and others, the shifting scenes. Los Al Racecourse, Los Alamitos, later today. A very important maiden race, I think, goes as the fifth. Steve Anderson standing by for the Daily Racing Form. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Steve, before we talk about the return to Greater Los Angeles, back to Los Al, and then, of course, next month, Santa Anita, not even next month, and just in a few weeks, but some Del Mar closing news and notes from your perspective.
Well, it was impressive to watch how much Flavian Pratt and Drayden Van Dyke were the dominant riders in the meeting, and they had an outstanding season, and as did Abel Cedillo in his first Del Mar. He was from the north, and he rode very well to be third in the standings. So you've seen a kind of a new rider emerge here in Southern California as someone who is becoming established in the division and getting more rides. He was kind of building momentum as the season went on, and I think that he's riding the Los Al this month. Drayden Van Dyke's recovering from his being unseated from 8 rings, and Flavian Pratt's riding around the nation for most of the days of the Los Alamitos meeting. So Cedillo's got a chance to build his situation a little bit more, and I think he certainly is one to follow as the autumn develops this year.
You know, one thing that we kept hearing as the meet rolled out was just the dominant performance of John Sadler and the Aronis Racing Team. I mean, just one week, every weekend, Steve, it seemed Costa and John were winning a stake.
And they were prepared for it. I mean, they had bought, you know, over the course of the preceding year, you know, from the sales, the yearling sales, all the way through to private sales and some other circumstances. You know, Higher Power was bought at Keeneland, you know, if I have it correct, it was bought in the horse in training sale in Kentucky in April. And there he was just a few months later winning the $1 million Pacific Classics and going into the, you know, going into the autumn here as a contender for some important races, you know, in California, such as the, you know, the awesome Again Stakes and the Breeders' Cup Classic. So that's just an example. Catalina Cruiser and Giant Expectations had the race of the meet when they came to the finish together in the Grade Two, in the Grade Two Pat O'Brien. Those guys, you know, that was an impressive result. Could have gone either way. So there was a lot of results that they had through the course of the 7 week meeting, and really impressive. You know, they didn't even run Jassikin back. He won the Oceanside, and he's going to hopefully start sometime soon. So yeah, the Sadler's really. He's really kind of become, he's got a big barn, but it's very much of a higher end barn than it was, say, 10 years ago. And you see the results in that.
You know, one horse that we should update on, it doesn't appear that Giftbox, he's kind of running out of time. It doesn't look good.
I don't think he's going to have much of a season this year, for the rest of this year. You know, I think he's probably going to be having more action, you know, probably in the wintertime than what was expected, because he kind of looked really nice there as things were starting in the spring and after he won the Gold Cup at Santa Anita back in May. But we're not probably going to see him with a minor injury, a setback that he's had. So look for him probably in the winter meet of Santa Anita in 2019-2020.
Well, it's quite something that a barn could have a horse like that and have him tracking toward a Breeders' Cup Classic try, go to the sidelines, and be replaced by a Pacific Classic winner.
And they've got a horse on Far E that's coming up that also looks like he's got some
ability, right,
too.
That's
so
right.
They're deep. They are really deep in that stable in regards to, you know, mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter older horses. So that'll be kind of fun to see what he can do, too.
Well, we turn toward Los Al. That has been such a valuable part, Steve. You know, with Hollywood gone from the landscape, Doc Allred has stepped in and has really done anything he could to help the Southern California racing calendar. He doesn't necessarily seem to get appreciated for it like he probably mm-hmm. should. Talk about the not just what's happening, you know, starting today and the rest of the year, but saw your story about next year's calendar.
Right. Well, 5 years ago, this is 2019, 6 years ago, if they hadn't come in and taken stabling at Los Alamitos and devoted it to thoroughbreds that race during the day and to a lesser extent expanded their track to a mile and begun and launched, you know, the 8 weeks of racing that they had. Originally, they were going to have five, and then when Fairplex Park discontinued the county fair in Pomona, Los Alamitos picked up the additional 3 weeks to make eight. Had they not devoted their barn area, a portion of their barn area, towards, you know, the ability for off-track stabling, in addition to what was at Santa Anita or Del Mar, Southern California racing collapses. There's no other way to describe it. That you just have to have that many stalls here for the way the game is operated to continue in any year-round format reliably. So in that sense, they saved the day. You know, there was some talk at the time, which was gibberish, about putting together some sort of a industry sport-wide fund to build a barn area somewhere, somehow, that would be an off-track stabling place, sort of like a Palm Meadows that is in Florida, or a nice off-track facility out where, I don't know. But it never came to fruition because it would have cost so much doggone money, to put it politely. So without this Santa Anita, without this Los Alamitos presence to support Santa Anita and support Del Mar, I don't think it would have continued in the same fashion that it is today, even though there's been such massive disruption this year in regards to the number of race days. Going forward, Los Al will continue to have stabling in the next few years, minimum, on a year-round basis for thoroughbreds. But the racing board and the thoroughbred owners of California, Santa Anita, and Del Mar have decided that they want to reconstitute the calendar of racing dates, and in doing so, we'll have Los Alamitos only with 4 weeks of racing, not eight, in 2020. They have been they've lost 2 weeks in this, in they've lost one week in both the July, September, and then December. And then the what was the county fair meeting in September, which starts today, next year won't exist. It will be held partially in July and partially in December. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all, because the county fair circuit statewide, whether it goes from venues such as Santa Rosa, Pleasanton, Sacramento, even Little Ferndale, and then up to Fresno in October, the Los Angeles Fair was part of that calendar for some of those people to go around the state and race their horses. Well, next year they won't have that opportunity. So that's a very strange decision, and we'll see how it plays out over the course of the year. And another factor is it's warm in Southern California this week. That's just the nature of the calendar. It's September, October is it's a later summer here. It's going to be probably 84 degrees at Los Al today. Next year on this corresponding day will be opening day of the Santa Anita Autumn meeting, just right after the Del Mar season ends. So that's going to be a little bit of a different calendar. Today at Santa Anita, it's probably going to be 90, 95. A few days ago, it was closer to 100. So you get into conditions like that where you begin to question whether is it viable to race. You know, they didn't run in Saratoga on that Saturday in July two months ago because it was so doggone hot. And, you know, the Haskell was an 8 o'clock race because of that.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of things going on that I don't think were necessarily planned as well as could have been. And so we'll see how this unfolds over the next year. And there'll be a 13-day break between Los Al's autumn meeting or summer meeting next year and the start of Del Mar. And then another break of nearly 2 weeks in December of 2020 between the end of the 2 weeks Los Al meet and the start of the San Diego Christmas meet. So a lot of changes are coming up in California. Maybe it'll work. We'll have to wait and see how it all develops.
Well, and of course, some of those kinds of breaks had been floated in recent years by people and were shot down. And that helped contribute to, you know, what turned into just the fiasco that the 6 month 2019 Santa Anita meet was, and of course the fall meet that's going to lead to the Breeders' Cup. Steve, I read something in the Los Angeles Times that I had to read three times before I understood what was being said. Tom Robbins and David Jerkins are writing Santa Anita's book. Did I read that correctly?
No, I think Steve Lim's writing that book. I don't know that that's the case.
Well, John Sherwa reported in the Times on Monday that Jerkins and Robbins have been brought in to essentially write the condition book at Santa Anita.
That's fascinating because they did a really good book at Del Mar this summer. At the end of the Santa Anita meeting, Dan Edson was writing the book, and he no longer works there. So it's very possible that they're consulting with Santa Anita on the details of their condition book.
Amazing.
It makes sense in a way. It would must be reflected that Del Mar did have a very solid meeting. Their field size was down significantly, but they did make 36 race programs, and there was a certain fear going into the season that they would have some difficulty in trying to fill all those cards, and they did. So in that sense, it worked out. It worked out really well.
Well, and you know, here's Bob Moreno at Los Al, and Bob has the same challenges, and of course he does not have the benefit of a turf course. He's only got the main track, and the turf horses do get a nice break. And I can tell you, just looking, you know, today, I mentioned already that fifth race, the maiden special weight, that includes a brother of Noldy, the half brother. By Into Mischief, Sadler sends out for the Mosses. And it's also got the half-brother to Ulelli, the $925,000 SF Starlight Mattaquette colt of Baffert's Mohawk. This is an important, a very important group. And Baffert also has a second runner in here, Steve, called Dodger. People may not remember Devereaux from about 10, 12 years ago. This mare has got to be, she's got to be 20-plus years old, the Mr. Prospector mare, Born Perfect. This is a half to Devereaux by Byron. Baffert's training him as well. Sadler in here with Costa Aronis and Enemy Runner. Something tells me this is a race everybody needs to watch today.
I think so, too. And we have to remember that a couple of years ago, Accelerate and Arrogate both ran in their maiden races at Los Alamitos.
How about that?
During in 2016. So you can do, and that's to be expected to a certain extent because you're, you know, they're made in special weight races. Maybe those horses weren't ready for the Del Mar. Maybe they, these guys think that, to some extent, that they might be able to get a race with a slightly easier field. Well, three people think that about nice horses. It's not so easy anymore. But, you know, you do find that Baffert particularly has always supported Los Alamitos very strongly. Sadler, too, because Baffert has a 40-year history here because he used to train quarter horses here in 1991. And so in that sense, you know, it's not a surprise to see. And he was very, very close to Brad McKenzie, who spearheaded the launch of Los Alamitos, the thoroughbred operation earlier this decade. So in that sense, he's always had an affinity for the track, and he's done well here. And he has a huge barn here as well. He's got probably 60, 70 horses minimum in that in the backstretch under the direction of Mike Marlowe, is their second stable here in town. So there's a lot of connection there. But this Mohawk is drawn well on the outside of six, and typical of a Baffert runner. He's got some really nice workouts, and looking through some of his Sanita, pardon me, his Del Mar works in the last few weeks, and you know, drawn well for a 5.5 furlong race in a relatively small field of six gives that horse plenty of time to grab position. He's probably one of the more likely winners on the card, but the price will reflect that as well. 6-5 morning line, probably 4-5 at post time, if not lower. So we'll have to wait and see how Mohawk does. Baffert had a for his standard, maybe didn't really even before the disappointment of the Del Mar Futurity, didn't really have as great of a Del Mar as he had the year before when he went 11 two-year-old races for maidens, and then game winner won the Futurity. So he had, of his 14 wins in 2018 at Del Mar, 12 were with two-year-olds and 11 were with maidens. So that was always going to be a high standard to try to match. And he, you know, didn't match it, but still had a very good season. But when you're Bob Baffert and you have this many first-round draft choices, when you go to sales like next week or any of the other major sales year-round, you're supposed to have big race meets. So I expect to see a lot more winners. And this Mohawk, I think, is probably one of them today that fits that very well.
Well, and the half to Noldy, who was by Pioneer of the Nile and, of course, wins the Del Mar Derby. Here's his little brother, an Into Mischief, and is going to start the career on the dirt and is coming off of a near bullet himself at Del Mar. I'm anxious to see. I haven't looked yet to see what Andy Harrington had to say or what Toby Terrell might have said in the DRF Clocker report. Got to ask Steve about tomorrow, the Beverly Lewis, and a group of six in here, Baffert well represented again, but you've also got first start for Motion Emotion now with Baltus, and I'm curious about what transpired in terms of a purchase or a buy-in that moved Motion Emotion away from Tom Vanberg.
I was speaking with Richard Baltus about this yesterday, and we talked about how this horse came to his stable, and he mentioned that it was a private deal done in the spring, and that Mark DiDomenico owned the filly outright, and Abbondanza Racing and Medallion Racing, two partnership groups, bought into her in the spring. The filly was sent back up to the Pegasus Training Center in Washington State for a little while, Baltus said, before she came down to Del Mar and joined his stable, and he's looking forward to getting her going. He's a little concerned about the distance being shorter than she might prefer. I think she's more of a miler or a longer sprinter than the 6-furlong distance of the Lewis. But and he even has the aspiration that she'll be a filly for the La Brea Stakes, the Grade One at Santa Anita in December, which is a, you know, kind of a nice year-end race for the 3-year-old filly.
Sure.
And so this might build towards that. I don't necessarily think that there's Breeders' Cup hopes, you know, for a filly in their sprint quite yet. But there's a lot of ability with this filly. Second being a length and two Grade Threes at Oaklawn Park in the spring. Didn't do very well in the Kentucky Oaks, but this is a good chance for her to come back and do well. But the same pretty much applies to Flor de Lamar, trained by Bob Baffert for Godolphin Racing, who ran disappointingly in not only the Kentucky Oaks, but also the Summertime Oaks at Santa Anita on May 26th. And Baffert yesterday said that she's the sort of filly that he has difficulty keeping weight on. So hopefully she'll, you know, have a little bit more luck with that 3 months farther into her career. She hasn't run since the end of May. And but her workouts over the course of the Del Mar meeting were spectacularly fast, almost always the best of the morning. So he's got high hopes that she can also be on a similar career path as Motion Emotion and build towards a La Brea start and some important races in 2020. So this race, like I wrote, I said, this might be the sort of race you look back on and go, oh, yeah, those two ran against each other, and now look what they've done. And it might be a circumstance like that where it's a springboard for big events, not only Saturday, but in the next 6 months, too.
Steve, did you do the advance for the E.B. Johnson for the State Bred Group?
It's an interesting race. Oliver, yeah. Trained by Doug O'Neill, looks pretty good. He's only up and coming. Cruel Intention, trained by Baffert, has faded in two sprints. In his last two starts, his favorite, he drew the rail, so that's going to be difficult. Shades of Victory, who won the race last year, 80-1, hasn't won since, but did come back after it was gelded in March and then had a rest and was given a race in the Green Flash 5-furlong turf race at Del Mar on August 17th. And Reed Saldana said, I needed that race to prep him for this race. And the horse trains at Los Al, so Shades of Victory has a bit of a home court advantage in that regard. And then there's Queen BDU, who's trained by the mare, who's trained by Andrew Lerner, and she won against the males in the Bertrando Stakes at Los Al, going a mile for State Breds on June 29th. And then she was overmatched in the Grade 1 Clement Hirsch a month later at Del Mar. And then this is her next goal, and so she's coming into the race. But you get into a circumstance there where a lot of those runners I just mentioned are tend to run near the front, particularly Cruel Intention and Queen BDU, so that could get crowded. Might set up really well for Oliver to come along and take advantage of the long stretch and a little bit of a pace in front of him. It might be his race.
Well, this is a nice late pick four for those that like to play the quads. You got 10 horses in the sixth, then an 8-horse field in the seventh. The stake sends out 8, and then a full field of 10 in the maiden 20 nightcap going a mile. A very nice start. Haven't had a chance to look at the Sunday card. Anything of note going on there?
Sunday's card got a little lighter on the entries. It didn't have as much success with the draw for that day. But there is a nice maiden mile for two-year-olds. Baffert's got a $500,000 Union Rags colt called Ragtime Blues, who drew the rail against Keith DeSormo's got a runner. Baffert's got another horse with two race experience at Del Mar called Braun, who was behind Collusion Illusion and Nobly. There's another runner that is trained by Jerry Hollendorfer called Special Day that it was down the track in the Ginobili maiden race on August 17th. So there's some interesting runners in that second race mile. So that's probably one of the nicer races on the card. There is not an allowance race or a stake. They have to hunt a grander coming up later this month called the Los Al Special, which is a race at a mile and a quarter for horses that have never won a stake worth at a mile or farther. So it's a little different of a condition than last year. Dabster won it in 2018. This is the second year they've run it. So that's the most lucrative race of the three-week meet.
You mentioned Jerry Hollendorfer, and are we getting a I don't know if you're following or Chuck, maybe Chuck Dibdle, who I think there's something going on in Alameda County, correct?
We should be getting some ruling soon, so we'll know soon. So,
all right.
Still very much in legal limbo.
Exactly, and then after, I'm sure that Daryl Vienna will turn his attention toward Santa Anita in coming weeks as well. And I also wanted to reiterate from earlier this week the mention, Dan Hendricks taking some time off, disbanded at the end of Del Mar, and you wrote a little piece. It feels like he's taken a little bit of a freshening as opposed to, completely retiring.
When I asked him, I said, what do you want to do? He goes, well, I haven't really thought it through. He just wants to take a break right now. And I said, would you do any bloodstock work or anything like that since you an advisory role? He said, it's possible. He said, I'm not ruling anything out. He's not ruling out coming back. He's not ruling out staying out. He's not ruling about a career change. So it'd be interesting to see what Dan does want to do. And he's been working at this for, since 1985. So for him, it's a chance to maybe step back. He did not have very many runners at Del Mar at all, really, and he lost a client earlier in the last year that affected his stable size. So in that sense, there's been some changes in his roster and his barn. So now might be a good time for him to adjust and reconsider going forward. Good man, that guy. He had brother Derek, who was third choice in the Kentucky Derby. I think it was Barbaro's year, and so it was an interesting time for him because that was a very nice runner and ran in the Preakness in his year as well. So a good horse.
A good horseman for many, many years. And we wish Dan the best. Steve, I appreciate this. We'll talk soon.
Look forward to it. We've got a lot coming up out in Southern California in the next 60, 90 days. So we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely. Steve Anderson, everybody. DRF Anderson. And your weekend preview with Hammer and Ted Nicholson, Jill Byrne, Nick Tamaro, James Scully, and Marty McGee. I thank Deja on the board, and I'll talk to you Monday.